If you could turn your Bibles to Psalm 122. And I would say tonight, get your fingers ready. We're going to go to a number of passages tonight. So Psalm 122. So Psalm 122, the Bible says this in verse number 1. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. With the tribes, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. And then jump over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. In verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as you see the day approaching. And so tonight, honestly, I just want to be an encouragement. I just want to be a help to you tonight and just give you some things to ponder on regarding church. And, you know, I don't want to get into the message, you know, right away, but, you know, on Sunday, Mrs. Rawlinson said something in our Sunday school class that really hit me. She said, I love church. This is where my boys grew up. And then she was speaking of her son, Ben. And she said, this is where he's been prayed for. This is where he's grown. This is his home. And me coming here and me being a young man, you know, growing up in this church and then falling away, what I'm going to share with you tonight is one of the many reasons why I came back to church. One of the many reasons why I chose this church as a church, this church as my home church. And one of the reasons how God began to work and show me these different things. And I would say tonight, as I'm going through these reasons why we're to love church, these reasons why we're to be thankful that we're in church tonight. Also think on the other aspect of it. Think about how people view church in the negative light of what I'm going to share. So I'm going to bring these different aspects throughout the message. But honestly, my heart, my goal is just to encourage you tonight and challenge you from the word of God. So we're going to pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to look into your word. I thank you so much for giving us the Bible, for giving us the word. I thank you, Lord, that it could be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I thank you so much that we can hide your word in our heart, that we may not sin against you. And I thank you for assembling this local church. Thank you so much for bringing us together tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just challenge us from your word tonight, that you would grow us and help us. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as your messenger, that you would put your words in my mouth, that you would just relay what you laid in my heart. And Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, that you will get the glory, that you will get the honor, and that you will get the praise. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. ABC News, they actually did a survey on Christians in America, basically religious people in America, and they found that 83% of Americans claim that they are Christians. And this is not, you know, Baptist Christians, so on and so forth. This is just generally all Christians. 83% of all Americans are Christians. 51% of that 83% go to church once a month, and then a staggering 22% actually go to church every single week. And if we're to ask ourselves this question, what is the need of our country today? What is the direction of our country today? And we realize that, honestly, it's not towards God. And here we have the reason why it's not towards God, because people aren't being challenged by the word. People aren't being edified by the body. They're not being challenged in a local New Testament church. And it's no wonder there's a decline in our world today, in our society today, regarding morals, regarding so many things. No wonder there's a decline. No wonder there's a downfall, because people are not in church. Throughout, in high school, I had to do a research paper, and it was on prayer in schools, Bible reading in schools. And it was amazing to me during this study that when prayer was in schools, all the craziness that you have in schools now, it wasn't there. And immediately, I think the next year after they removed prayer from the schools, then all of a sudden you see all this trend of violence, this trend of youth alcoholism and drug use, all these things started to become more and more prevalent because they removed prayer, they removed God from the schools. And so if we as Christians, if we as children of God, we don't put a purpose, we don't put an importance on going to church, an importance on the Word of God, then we can fall to that same downfall just as the world did when they removed God from prayer. I mean, when they removed God from the schools, prayer from the schools as well. And so if you were to ask yourself the question, Jeremiah, what are the main reasons why you love church? What are the main reasons why I should love church as a child of God? The first reason is this, transparency. Transparency is the property of glass. It means you're open. It means that, hey, you don't have it all together, and you're willing to tell everyone that you don't have it all together. And I like to say these two words, and it was two words that one of my professors in college said. He says, transparency equals trust. If I'm open with you, if I can tell you how I'm feeling, if I can tell you what I'm going through, then I can trust you. If I can trust you with my innermost, deepest secrets that you won't tell anybody, that you won't gossip about them, man, that means that I am close to you. That means, hey, I trust you. And sadly to say, and this is on my part too, I'm not transparent enough in church. You know, when I come here, hey, I put a mask on. Hey, I may be hurting inside, but honestly, I don't show it. I may be going through trials and tribulations, but hey, when I come here, I put on a smile. And it's sadly to say that most Christians in church today, we fake it. And people ask us, man, how are you doing? I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing great. God is good. But as soon as we leave the parking lot, all of a sudden, all those burdens come back, man, and we're in a horrible place, horrible pit. And I want to ask you a simple question. If you can't be transparent in church, where else are you going to be transparent at? If you can't be transparent with people that you're going to spend the rest of your eternity with, then who are you going to be transparent with? If you can't share your innermost, deepest secrets with your brothers and sisters in Christ, who are you going to share them with? And what does the Bible say? Bear ye one another's what? Burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. So the first aspect of church that I love is that transparency. I can come here and, hey, none of us have it all together. We've all been saved by the grace of God. We've all need God's grace. We need God's grace on and mercy on a daily basis. And aren't you glad that God's mercies are new each and every morning? That God's faithfulness is new every morning. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did a couple moments ago. God is still faithful. God is still merciful. And we can come here. We can be open, transparent. We can tell people, I don't want to know if you kicked your dog or anything like that, but you can tell people your innermost, deepest secrets, and no one's here to judge you because we're going through the same thing. I'm a mess just like you're a mess. And we can share how we're a mess together and how Jesus is putting all these pieces together and has made us whole. So the first aspect we see is transparency. And if you could turn over to 1 John 1. In verses 5 through 8, the Bible says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And, you know, I don't mean to meddle a little bit, but have you ever been around someone where you ask them, hey, you know, do you have anything I could pray for? Do you have any prayer requests? Like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. And you're like, okay, well, this thing is going on in your life. No, I'm fine. I don't need any prayer requests. Well, last week, this thing happened. Well, no, I don't need any prayer requests. And honestly, it just comes down to pride. And I remember being at that spot in my life. You know, I would be in the dorms at college, and man, things be going on at home with my family and so on and so forth. And I was just too proud. I wanted everybody to think, man, I had it all together. I had a perfect family. I had a perfect home that I grew up in. But it wasn't until I started being transparent. It wasn't until I started trusting people with the situations, with the burdens that I had in my heart, that God began to grow me. That God began to allow me to initiate these friendships. And because I was open, because I was transparent, honestly, I have some of the best friends that anyone could have from Bible college. Because I was open, because I was transparent with them. And I would say some of the best friends that you could have in your life are here in this room. But it begins by you being open, by you being transparent with them, by you telling them the innermost, deepest secrets of your heart that you're struggling with, not so they could judge you, so that they could pray for you. Because the church is a place of transparency. So not only do we see the church as a place of transparency, or a place where we can be open, but secondly, we could see that the church is a place of giving. And man, it is a blessing every single week. I get to see how God blesses me. And then I get to see how God blesses the church as we give to the church. And man, if you do a walk around this church during the service, you would see the children downstairs getting ministered unto. You would see the people up in the balcony getting ministered unto. The people on the floor getting ministered unto. You would see God's work going forth. And man, isn't it a blessing that we can be a part of that? Get to be a part of what God is doing. Every other Tuesday, we get to see the food bank go forth. We get to see people saved. We get to see people talk to you, people in Bible studies. And this is something that we get a part of in God's kingdom by giving of our tithes. And just simply giving back to God what he has blessed us with. And so what does the Bible says? Where your treasure is, what? There's your heart also. And so if you were to do an analysis on your pocketbook, where would your heart be? Would your heart be on God, on giving to others? Or would your heart be on yourself, you indulging in yourself? And if you were to ask yourself this question, what am I seeking first in my life? Am I seeking God's kingdom first, or am I seeking my own kingdom first? And honestly, I got to see this firsthand through Neighborhood Bible Time. And through Neighborhood Bible Time, we got to travel from church to church. Over the summer, we went to 8 churches. And Neighborhood Bible Time is not, you know, it's funded by people that basically give. And they want to see God's work go forth. And every single week, we got to see kids' lives change. And I remember one week, we had these teenagers, and the first day, it was so rough on the bus. I mean, it was just terrible on the bus. And I remember being on that bus, and, you know, the kids, they just didn't seem interested in things of God. And, you know, we were just like, Lord, you're just going to have to do something on this bus. And I remember we just kept praying. Me and my partner kept praying. And all throughout the week, just kept praying for them. And then we got to Friday night. And that's when God broke. God broke each and every one of them. And it was sad because we had to cut the meeting short because it got so late. It was 11:30 at night. Those kids had to go home. But it was amazing just seeing what God had done through their heart during the week. They went from singing worldly songs to Christian songs that Friday night on the bus. And at the end of it all, they're like, you guys, don't leave. I don't want to leave. They're there at that fireplace, that fire meeting, and they're getting things right. They're writing things down. They're confessing things to God. I mean, God was at work. And I remember telling my the MBT director, Brother Kuntz, about it. And just how God changed my life through that. And you know what? He wrote a letter to all the people that were supporting them. And they got to say how much that blessed them, that they got to be a part of what we're doing. And I can tell you countless stories of other evangelists that went out that got to see God's work and got to see firsthand what God was doing through the generation, through the local New Testament church. And so if we're to ask ourselves this question, am I giving to God grudgingly, or am I giving to God cheerfully? And if you were to ask yourself that question, that would show you exactly where your heart is. That would show you exactly the temperature of your heart. And man, honestly, I love being here. I love working hard during the week and then seeing how God blesses what I work hard for every other week. And sadly to say, this often comes under much tribulation by the world. They ask yourself the question, man, you're giving to that church again. Man, all the church does is take up an offering. I remember being younger in the church, they took up three offerings. And they're like, oh, you can give more, give more, give more. And then you ask yourself, okay, what is being done around here? I mean, who's being reached? Who's being touched? And it's a big fat zero. No one's being reached. No one's being touched. And glory to God that we're in a place where we get to see firsthand lives changed, lives touched, children be involved in Bible quizzing, so on and so forth. We get to see God work firsthand. So the first reason why I love church, the first reason why we're to love church is due to the transparency that we can have here. Secondly is the fact that we can give to God and we can see the work of God go forth. Thirdly is the fact of love. The fact of love. And I would say this, that no one cares for you like your brother and sister in Christ. And man, isn't it amazing that when you go through things, when you face things, man, you have people texting, you have people, when you come here into the building, say, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I love you. Hey, I'm on your side. And hey, if you're going through anything during the week, hey, they'll come over your house and they'll minister to you. They'll encourage you in the Lord. They'll sharpen you. Man, Wednesday mornings, a men's prayer. Man, you have men that meet every Sunday ready to pray for you. And man, I probably shouldn't, you know, mention this. I probably don't go as much as I should. But every time I go, I am so blessed by the love of that man. And every time I come here every Sunday, I'm so blessed by the love of the body. And man, when my family goes to think just how you guys wrap your arms around us and love us and care for us. And anybody that goes through anything, you know, just how the body wraps their arm around you and loves you and cares for you and nurtures you. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. And then since you're in 1 John, turn over to chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Verse number 16 says this, hereby perceive that we love God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And man, it's that agape love, that total giving sacrificial love. You know, it's not that, hey, I love you because of what you can do for me. Hey, you have a nice job. I know that you can bless me with a nice check. It's I love you because you're in the kingdom of God. I love you because Christ died for you and you're my brother in Christ. So I'm so thankful that I can come to a place every Sunday where I know that I'm loved. And man, isn't it hard out in the world sometimes? Man, you get beat up by the world. You go on Facebook and you have people bad talking Christians and what they're doing. Man, isn't it awesome that you can come to a place where you know that you're appreciated, where you know that you're loved, where you know that, hey, I'm going to be taken care of. So first, we see that the church is a place of transparency. Secondly, the church is a place of giving. Thirdly, the church is a place of love. And then fourthly, we get to see that the church is a place of preaching. And man, isn't this amazing that we get to hear a message prepared not only every Sunday, but every Wednesday night, Sunday night. And we get to see God work through so many lives. And I thought about this week. Like, for the past 29 years that this church has been around, Pastor Scott and whoever's in the pulpit every week, they've been preaching the same message for 29 years in this church. And what is the message? That Jesus Christ can save your life. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. That Jesus Christ gave himself to save you from your sins. The same old message for 29 years. And you know, the world looks at us and they say, hey, what is that? That's foolishness. Man, why are you going to a church every Sunday to hear the same message over and over again? But it's the same message that changed our lives and the same message that continues to change our lives. Now, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That what? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We come here to get edified by the word of God. And man, isn't it awesome when you come in, your heart is just so discouraged. I mean, you're like, man, I want to go to church just to hear some preaching. You come here, you get fed, and then you leave the door, man, you're excited. Man, you're ready to, I guess you could say it this way, you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. You're so excited about what God is teaching you, how God is growing you. You're so excited about the message that pastor has preached. And man, your heart is challenged, and you're ready to go the next day. And you're ready to go the next day when you review the sermon over again. And I'm so thankful that God has called men to preach. And not only called men to preach, but allows men to preach the gospel every Sunday. And this is also what I'm thankful for, that it's relevant. It's relevant to what I'm going through as a human being. It's relevant to what I'm facing as an American. It's relevant to where I'm at in my stage of life. You know, hey, it's not just a message that, you know, hey, was just back then for the apostles, for, you know, the Old Testament and so on and so forth. But hey, it's relevant for 2018 with where we're at in life, no matter what stage we're in. And I don't mean to be rude, but hey, whether you're 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, whether you're 90 years old, the Bible is relevant to you. So if you were to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, Paul says this. Beginning in verse number 1, he says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man, words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And it's amazing to me, and it's sad to me, that people go to church every week, but there's churches, sadly to say, and men, sadly to say, that get up and they don't feed the flock. I remember, you know, working this past summer with Mr. Aguiar, and it so crushed me, it so burdened my heart. This man, he's about in his mid-30s, has a wife, has two young daughters, and he's a relatively new Christian. And he was talking about how he was going to a church. And, you know, he's honestly being transparent with me, being open with me. And he said, you know what, Jeremiah, I'm dying spiritually. He said, I get more out of me reading the Bible in the morning than I do on Wednesday night and Sunday. I mean, Wednesday night and Sunday mornings. He said, honestly, he said, I'm just dying. And he said, I fear that my heart is going to wane from the Lord because, hey, I'm not getting fed. And it just so crushed my heart because here you have a man that had the desire to grow, that had the desire to learn more about God, the desire to start a Bible college, the desire to see other young men trained, young ladies trained. But now, sad to say, he's not following that path. Because of the preaching, he wasn't growing. He wasn't being fed, and he ended up falling away. And it's sad to say, but that's what happens when people aren't being fed. So first of all, we have transparency, we have giving, we have love, we have preaching. Fifthly, we have missions. And this is simply seeing the gospel reach many. And so if we're to go to Acts 1:8, we're to see that we're to be reaching Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And man, isn't it amazing? I love this every Wednesday night, just seeing what God is doing through the missionaries that we support. and then just seeing how we can impact the community by something like the church barbecue, and just seeing the community come to that and us being able to minister to them. And it's awesome to see God doing something all around the world through Woodside Baptist Church. The world is impacted. The community is impacted. And man, it's awesome just to see that, hey, here in this church, I'm not only making an impact here in Denver, Colorado, but in Africa, in South America, and so many places all around the world because of what God is doing. Sixthly, we come to the word authenticity. And this simply means that you're the real deal, that you're not a hypocrite. It means that you're walking with integrity, that you are humble, that you are meek, that you are lowly. And this is the one thing that God has really been hammering me as a young man to walk with integrity, to always do the right thing, even when the right thing is not easy to do. And man, it's so easy as a young man to cut corners, to say, oh, you know what? I can rely on my talent. I can rely on my charisma. I don't have to have character. I don't have to have integrity. But those are the things as you get older that matter. What does the Bible say? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I mean, what's talent, what's ability if your name is tarnished? What's talent, what's ability if your name is tarnished? And think about this with me for a second. You look at men and women that are basically in the limelight, that have all the riches in the world, and then you see the name attached to them, and then you see some people cringe at those things. Some people have no dealings to do with those people because of that good name, because they're not authentic, because they're not real. And I have a simple question for you tonight. Are you the real deal? Are you walking in hypocrisy, or, man, are you walking in integrity? And probably the most frustrating thing for me as a Christian is this, that my life is in a fishbowl. I mean, it just seems like everyone is looking at my life. And then you have the world, they're just waiting for me to fall, waiting for me to fail. People are looking at me this way, that way. But the thing that I remember is, hey, I am an ambassador of Christ. I'm to make him look good. And man, I was thinking about this past week, and man, I was really weighing on the idea of doing great as a Christian. And I'm not talking about being great. I'm not talking about, you know, amounting to anything. But I'm talking about doing great things. I'm talking about doing the right things. If you go over to the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. And thinking about this, what people want to be a Christian based upon my testimony at work, what people want to be a Christian based upon my testimony with my wife, if we do a lot of with video cameras and follow people around with video cameras, if someone were to follow you around in your life, at the end of it all, would they want to be a Christian based upon your life? Would they see that you're the real deal? Would they see that, man, his work ethic is honoring to the Lord? The way that he responds to his wife is honoring to the Lord. The way that he worships God is honoring to the Lord. Man, he gets up every morning, he reads the Bible, he prays, he spends time with God. God is real in his life. Would they say that, man, you're the real deal? I want to be like them. And sadly to say, we don't often show the world that we're the real deal, that we're authentic. And, you know, I had a meeting with a young man this week, and I was telling him, you know, exactly what I'm sharing with you, how God was, you know, been working in my heart and what he's been showing me. And I asked him a question. I said, if someone was lazy on the job, if someone didn't finish their work, and then all of a sudden they came to you to witness to you, and was like, man, Jesus Christ can save your life. He changed mine. I said, what would be the first response out of your mouth? And I told him, I said, I don't mean to be rude or sarcastic or sneering. I said, but the first word out of my mouth is, it didn't seem like he changed yours because of your testimony, because of the way that you carry yourself. And oftentimes we forget that we are ambassadors for Christ, and we're to make him look good. We're to allow him to be shown through us, through our work ethic, through how we deal with people, through how we love. So many things come into play in this area of authenticity. And though we're in this fishbowl, our goal is not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify him. And that should be our purpose. That should be our goal every single day, to make him look good, to make sure that we're the real deal. And then James 1:22 says this. It says, be not a hearer of the word, but a doer also. That's that area of don't be a hypocrite. Man, I heard this growing up, do what I say and not what I do. But honestly, I'll look at him and say, okay, why would you say that? It should be turned around. Hey, do what I say and also what I do. Hey, follow me. I'm going the right way. Do what I say and what I do as well. So first of all, we have the transparency in church. Second, we have the giving, love, preaching, missions, authenticity. And then seventhly, I love growth. And I'm so glad that coming here for the last 5 years, that I've grown more than I did in the prior years that I was here, because I embrace everything that's going on here. Church is a place of growing. Growing closer to the Lord in your faith, growing closer to others, and learning more about God. You're progressing, so to speak, when you come to church. And we're in Bible college. Basically, there was a phrase that they often said. It was three to thrive: Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And basically saying, hey, to be at your optimum strength as a Christian. I know some people work, so on and so forth. But if you can be in church, they always said, be in church. It's three to thrive as a Christian. And man, if you were to think about how much you learned as opposed to last year, right? If you ask yourself how much you learned right now from last year in church, you would see, man, I learned a lot from the preaching. Hey, you're able to hear preaching, then go home and study it out. And you're like, man, I learned something new from the Word of God. And man, isn't it awesome that you can learn something every week and you could see yourself growing every week in church? Eighthly, we come to the fellowship. And man, I love this. I love being able to have God work in my heart during the week and then be able to share that on Sunday, being able to share that on Wednesday, and not only being able to share that, but hear about what God is doing through other people's lives. Jump over to Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. The Bible says this: and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such be saved. And so it's amazing that we can come here and we have fellowship. We can tell how God answered our prayers, what God is doing through our hearts, and then also have it over food. That's amazing as well, that we can have fellowship over food and explain what God is doing through our hearts. Ninthly, we come to worship, and this is probably my favorite. We get to come here and glorify God. We get to come here and we get to worship God. Jump over to Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says this. It says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, for the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And time won't permit to, to go to different verses, but it's amazing that we can come here and worship the God of the universe. Wednesday night, Sunday night, and we get to say, God, here's my worship, here's my singing. God, I'm ready for you to speak to me. I'm ready to glorify you. I'm ready to worship you. And lastly, tonight, we come to, wrapping it all up, the simple word, time. I'm glad that we have a time set out once a week to meet. to glorify God, to worship, to hear preaching, to have fellowship. And going back to what I said before, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And man, this is not a perfect church. It became imperfect the moment I walked through, the moment you walked through. But God says, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. And I'm thankful that, hey, we're not here for, here wasting our time, or, you know, we're not here for 3 hours and then it feels like, man, we haven't got anything out of the service. I'm glad that we're making great use of the time that God is giving us. I read this morning. It says, the goal of life is not to be great, but to do great. The goal of life is not to be great, but to do great. The goal of life is not to be great, but to do great. And what I want to leave you with tonight is simply this, that God has given us talent. God has given us abilities, not only to use for, you know, going out in the world or the workforce and so on and so forth, but he's given those talents and abilities to use here in church as well. And man, every single Sunday, I want to be my best for the Lord at church. I mean, I want to be great for the Lord. And as a young man, I'm just like, man, God, I don't want to just do good. I don't want to just do good things. I want to be great. I mean, I don't want to be great. I want to do great. I want to do a great job at everything that I do. I mean, when you give me something, God, I want to give it everything that I have. And so the so what tonight is simply this. Man, love church. Be in church. Be thankful that you have a church to go to. I have a friend, Joey, that is 20 years old, and he went to China to become a missionary. And he said, Jeremiah, so disheartening. There's no churches. Millions of people, but no churches. And we could say, man, they're not being fed. They're not getting in tune with who God is. Some of them don't even know who God is. But be thankful that you're in church tonight. So as I said before, I just really honestly just wanted to be an encouragement to what God has been doing in my heart. And man, when I come here, I fall in love with church over and over again. Amen. The preaching of God's word, the fellowship with the people. Man, me giving to God. Man, the openness, transparency of people. And having a place where, hey, honestly, I want to be the real deal. You know, I want to be the same in church like I am outside of church. I want to be the real deal. And I want to use the talents, the abilities that God has given me inside the church as well. So I just pray that something said tonight would be an encouragement to you. And man, if you're waning on, man, should I go to church Sunday? Man, should I be in church here? Just remember what I said today and let it encourage your heart and encourage you in the Lord. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you so much again for your word. I thank you so much of, Lord, how it challenges us. And Lord, I thank you for calling out us to be your people and assembling us tonight to hear your word, to worship you, to glorify you. And thank you, Lord, that we can come here and just share what you've done through our lives, how you changed our lives, how you're progressing us, how you're growing us on a daily basis. And Lord, tonight we just give you all the glory, all the praise. Because you're a good God, because you are worthy. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.